And with a bit of humor, when we talked about fitting and fighting. Bless you. I like to have my remarks punctuated. Underscored, if you will. Amen and achu. Go together. Suffice it to say that ever since Satan began a war in heaven, that was the first conflict, the first war, was the one engaged in and initiated and fomented by the evil one as he sought advantage, as he sought in his own insane fashion to knock God off of his throne. And how insane indeed such an ambition was, that ever since that first conflict, there has been conflict arising among human beings thereafter. We know that with the fall of man, the very first generation of human beings, Cain killed his brother because of a conflict, because of jealousy in that particular situation. Whatever the causes may be, we know that the purpose of Satan is to divide and conquer, to divide human beings one from another, to cause misunderstandings, to cause differences, to cause disputes, to cause conflicts, to cause contentiousness. Because if he can distract us with squabbles, he can. And how many churches have there been who, because of controversy within their own ranks over minor and petty issues, oftentimes, sometimes forgotten why the fight started? That because of conflict, so since conflict seems to be among us until the Lord, or until we return to Him, whichever comes first, we recognize it's something we're going to have to deal with. I don't think there's anything quite so hurtful. And it is something that accompanies the abuse of the tongue. We've looked at several issues that surround the use of the tongue. And starting fights is one of those things that the tongue is so often the major cause of. Nothing, indeed, I think, is so hurtful to a personal relationship or to a corporate relationship, whether in the church or among nations, than this issue of conflict or strife. Right now, we're engaged in war in Iraq. And we know that it is causing all kinds of hurt and difficulty. Well, we're going to look at a moment at a scripture which says, why do we have war and why do we have conflict? Well, you know, there are some folks who are pugnacious by nature. You know what a pugnacious person is? Ever seen an English pug dog? Because he has a pugnacious face. That's why the British celebrated the pug as its mascot. Churchill was known as a very pugnacious man with a cigar, you know. The idea being that there are some people who, by nature, are spoiling for a fight. You don't know anyone like that, do you? Pugnacious, spoiling for a fight, just waiting for the wrong word to be said, the wrong eyebrow to be crossed. And then they're at the throat immediately. Type A personalities. I worked for one once. He was never happier than when he was causing a fight. It was really something that was deep, embedded within his personality. And you know, you may have run into a person who has what I call the automatic fuse syndrome. Now, the automatic fuse syndrome works like this. You light it, and it burns. And it continues to burn until the explosion occurs. Now, that relates to anger, but it also relates to this matter of conflict. And it will not go out until the conflict has been ignited. And then there's a certain release that occurs when the fight has begun. All right, finally. It's terrible to have a nature where fighting is a source of fulfillment. Well, you know, most of us don't get into fights because of our personality. Some of us do. Some of us have this pugnacious personality. Some of us have the opposite kind of personality. You know, there is an opposite tendency. There is the passive kind of personality that will avoid conflict at all costs. and sometimes will make terrible decisions just to avoid conflict. So these are extremes, both the one that wants to pick a fight and the one that will run from a fight no matter what. But most of us are somewhere in the middle. And most of us get into conflicts because of frustration over something we want that we don't get. Little babies flail their arms and feet and express their upset when they don't get what they want. And some of us continue to flail right through the adult years. I see so many looks of recognition. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4, just for a moment. Remember I said a moment ago that the scriptures deal with the matter of the cause of fights among us? In a number of places, certainly in the book of Proverbs that we're now studying, but particularly we read this addressed in the book of James, also known as Jake. Well, that's not meant to be disrespectful because in Greek, the word for James is Jacob. Jacob. James is Jacob. The book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So there is, if you will, positive strife. Now, that's battles that need to be fought. The Bible uses the term struggle to talk about our own spiritual warfare, doesn't it? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and so on. That is to say, there's a spiritual war going on inside us, and not only inside us, but the world is used as a tool by Satan. The evil demons that are out and about in the world are also external enemies that come to prey upon and to try to oppress believers and to possess non-believers. So we are in a world in which conflict, as long as we're in this fallen world and as long as there is a residue of sin within us, as there will be until we go to be with the Lord, we are in a world where there will be strife. Now, striving, I said, can be positive, meaning a struggle.
Good fight.
Lay hold on eternal life. Stand firm. He says, and he talks about boxing. He uses a wonderful metaphors that describe the fact that there is a struggle and that Paul says we as believers should be forthrightly engaged in the struggle, that is to contend for the faith and to contend for our faith. So, not all striving, that is to say, not all conflict, is unwarranted. Some conflict is necessary. And if you don't engage in the necessary conflict, you're going to pay sometimes a very severe price. Our answer to evil is given to us in terms of the struggle, of the strife, that is the warfare, the fight of faith that Paul urges upon Timothy when he tells us in the book of James, the same book, turn over to chapter 4 and verse 17, same chapter we're in, 4:7. I don't mean 17, 7. Therefore submit to God, here it is, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So we may have conflicts among us. The conflicts among us have to do sometimes, oftentimes, with the strife and division fomented by the evil one as he creates differences and he creates dissatisfactions between us and among us. And he says, you're in warfare with Satan, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against those evil principalities and powers. Therefore, resist. You're in war. Stand up and fight this war. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But that's not the fight we're talking about today. We're not talking about the fight that is necessary, the fight that we should all engage in as believers against evil and against attacks on the faith. We're not talking about that kind of fight. We're talking about strife and conflict that is not good. strife and conflict that essentially arises out of our own selfishness, out of our own frustrations over not having our selfish desires met. That's the kind of conflict, that's the kind of strife that we're going to be talking about today. Now, there are several sources of this here found in the book of Proverbs. Turn with me now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Where does strife come from? And by the way, before we talk about the causes, I want you to look at what the book of Proverbs... Turn first to chapter 18 of Proverbs before we look at that passage I just mentioned. Turn to chapter 18 of Proverbs first. Understand the harm that is done when there is a conflict between people. Chapter 18 of Proverbs. Conflicts have results. Conflicts have consequences. Chapter 18 of Proverbs, verse 19. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. You know, you hurt someone or you cross someone and you cause division between you, then you're going to find a big chasm there that's hard to bridge. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. You talk about dividing people. You talk about keeping people at a distance from you and causing division and separation to occur. Nothing like a fight to separate. Like bars of a castle that bar other people out. Well, that's what is a consequence of fighting, a consequence of strife. There are other kinds of consequences, harm and hurt, that results from this matter of strife. But now let's look at causes. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. We saw the general cause, which is our own selfish desires, in James chapter 4. We read that a moment ago. That's the overall, overarching cause. But that can be broken down into specific kinds of selfishness and specific kinds of hurts that we can cause from evil. Hatred, chapter 10 and verse 12 of Proverbs. Hatred stirs up strife. If you really don't like someone, or someone has hurt you badly, and you want to get even, someone says, I don't get mad, I get even. Vengeance results from that hate that arises out of that hurt. Strife does come as a result of hatred. And so if you want to pray for anything, it's the heart attitude that we all have. We need to pray, first of all, about our hearts. Before we pray about the fighting, pray about the cause of the fighting, which is our hearts. And hatred is one of those causes. Various kinds of evil itself produces conflict and strife. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Hatred in our hearts is where it emanates from. Selfishness in our hearts is where it emanates from. Proverbs chapter 17, in verse 19. There are troublemakers in the world. He who loves transgression loves strife. Now, there are some people that enjoy it. Strange people. I mean, I mentioned that personality type earlier, of folks who, you know, just once you light the fuse, it's going to continue to burn until the explosion occurs and the fight occurs. And there is a seeming release that occurs as a result of that explosion. But there are people who seem to groove on fighting. Now, we've all seen the cartoons of... in fact, I was at Notre Dame University. Any of you happen to be familiar with Notre Dame University? Some of you are familiar with Notre Dame University. While I was on the campus of Notre Dame University, I noticed the mascot. Barnes, what's the mascot? Yeah, a fighting Irishman. And look at the stub of a pipe sticking out of his mouth. And Picard, he's got his fists up like this, would you believe? And so the whole stereotype of the fighting Irishman has I remember Victor McLaughlin in some of those old movies. I don't know if you remember. Some of you are just too young to remember those.
A Victor McLaughlin was just one of these fellows, you know, that he was willing to take you on. He's bluff and gruff and tough and all the other ups. He loved it. He loved fighting. And they ended up dusting themselves off at the end, you know, and having good fellowship. Well, I suppose there are some people that, you know, enjoy the conflict. Little boys like to fight. Or at least they tend to fight. I had a brother. Have a brother. He's still with us. Though there were times when his life was on the line, I must tell you. And I remember some of those days, you know, that we would be out in the hall and my mother wasn't looking at me. But then he was always picking on me. Nobody's ever had that experience before. So there were the conflicts, the rivalry that exists between boys that is the preparation for war, some people say. At the very least, it's a sign of an aggressive personality. And that's a problem for men. Men, I don't want to stereotype, because a lot of contentious ladies, and the Bible here in the book of Proverbs talks about contentious ladies. We're not going to get into that today. But as a generalization, it's probably correct to say that men tend to be aggressive, and they tend to be those who are willing to cause conflict because of that tendency. So, if you love trouble, you're going to love fighting, is what this is saying. Yes? Yeah, they're trying to pacify them by giving them mood changers, whether it's Ritalin or whether it's some of these other drugs that they're using that are being over-prescribed, by the way, I think. But nevertheless, they're attempting to kind of reduce the natural tendency on the part of kids to get into difficulties. There used to be other solutions that tempered the aggressive attitudes. All those red knuckles did wonders. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Evil itself is a cause of this matter of fighting. 16:28. You love transgression, you're going to love fighting. If you're a perverse man, it says you're going to sow strife. That is the way you sow seed. You're going to spread it around. And perversion really refers to any sin that besets, that causes corruption in the personality. The word perverse means crooked or twisted. Anything that corrupts us is going to be a cause of sowing trouble. The corrupt person is not a peaceful person. The corrupt person will seek to spread the corruption, will sow strife. We as human beings tend to be divisive. I know this in my field, which happens to be philosophy, that there are people that have fought over ideas for centuries. And people fight over less noble things all the time. But in the early church, the issue of division and factionalism and fighting was a phenomenon that had to be dealt with even in the early days of the church. Why, even among the disciples, we read that they were walking along the road and they had a fight as to who was the greatest. Peter said, obviously. And so on. And that's how. And then, of course, James and John said, we won't fight. We'll just get it done. So they went with their mama to Jesus and said, you put me on the right and you put me on the left. The fact of the matter is the disciples themselves were infected with this spirit of contentiousness, of strife, of division, even among themselves. Why? Because of overweening ambition, pride, desires to be number one, to be prominent. turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13, cry, which we've just alluded to. Proverbs chapter 13. Hatred, moral corruption. Now, pride, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. By pride comes nothing but strife. Satan was lifted up in his first sin with what? Pride. And the next thing we see is him causing a war in heaven. The pride to gain the throne and had the ambition to see himself as greater than he was as a creature, not satisfied with his state as a creature, desiring to be as great as God and having his throne supplant the throne. All of that overweening pride caused him to start a war in heaven, caused a third of the angels to be cast out of heaven. Pride has ever since caused that kind of result. Chapter 28 of Proverbs says something quite similar. Chapter 28 and verse 25. Big heads cause fights is essentially what's being said here. 28:25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife. You know, if I have enough ego involvement and I have enough desire and have enough ambition to push myself ahead, I'm going to push others aside, and if I can cause others to be angry with the people and to be upset with the people that I want to supplant, I will divide and conquer. It has been ever thus that pride has caused and stirred up strife. Well, we talked about this earlier, but turn now to another cause, which is perhaps in some ways the most frequent cause. And that's found, for example, in Proverbs chapter 15. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15. We've talked about hatred. We've talked about moral corruption. We've talked about pride. Now, here's one that may be the most common. Proverbs chapter 15. And verse 18. Anger. Wrath. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18. A wrathful man stirs up strife. Proud man stirs up strife, we just read a moment ago. Now we read that a wrathful man, a person who has this pugnacious personality that we just talked about at the beginning of the class, that angry person will tend to cause friction, will tend to cause strife to occur. And there are other passages that are like unto it. For example, chapter 29 of Proverbs says something similar. In chapter 29 and verse 22, it says, an angry man stirs up strife. Something very similar in chapter 30 of Proverbs. This is an interesting one because it has such a vivid imagery attached to it. So you might want to pay attention to this. Chapter 30 and verse 33. Vivid imagery here. The simile that are similes that are used to try to get you to understand how it is that anger causes it. For as the churn, verse 33 of chapter 30 of Proverbs. For as the churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood. Wait, what an awful image. So the forcing of wrath produces strife, conflict. And there is, if you will, a compulsiveness that's involved here in the starting of the fight. You know, it's if the person just isn't happy and wants to do it. And there is this intentionality. That's what's being talked about. The forcing of wrath is the intentionality. Some people explode, you know, all over the place, and sure enough, there's a big fight that ensues. Some people, I'm going to do something. I'm going to make it happen. And that's what the forcing of wrath. There is the intentionality of this. They're going to do something to cause trouble. They're troublemakers, essentially. And they're not happy if they're not. Exactly. That's the sad part about that kind of personality quirk. Proverbs chapter 22, there's another cause for starting fights besides...
That can also be a cause.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. The idea of you cause me to get ticked off because of some imagined slight, some controversy, or maybe not imagined, even something that I just don't like that you do, and if I have the power to do something about it, then I will do something about it. So there is vengeance as a motive that arises out of anger. The Intifada is, after all, a continual stirring up of strife. That is precisely what you're talking about. I understand exactly what you're saying. As a means, in fact, as a tool to cause their ends to be realized. Chapter 22 of Proverbs, another cause. Contempt. Notice verse 10. Cast out the scoffer, and contention will cease. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. The idea being here, there's someone who is so contemptuous of someone else or of some other situation, they are looking down their noses, as it were, and despising the person or despising that situation. And that scoffing or that despising of the situation causes them to be angry and then causes them to cause trouble. So this kind of despising attitude, contempt, you might call it, is another cause. Anger, pride, contempt, moral corruption, hatred, and we saw, without turning to it, when we were looking at chapter 4 of James, lust, desire in general, and moral lust in particular will cause fights. Here's one, and I'll close with this cause because it's maybe even more common than anger. Didn't think that it was something more common to cause fights than anger, did you? Well, this may be it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. If we don't all see ourselves in this one, I shall be very surprised. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's lips enters into 29. Turn to chapter 29 of Proverbs. Where it says, this is what happens when you fight with a fool. Chapter 29, 9. This is what happens if you fight with a fool. 29:9. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, whether he's got a burst of anger or whether he's laughing like an idiot, there's no peace. There's some people who simply are stupid. And the reasons for the fights are stupid. Have you ever been in a fight where the reasons were just plain stupid? If that's not the most common, I will be most surprised. Maybe anger comes in a close second. But sometimes we can behave stupidly. Yes. I think I remember a certain apostle picking up a sword, whacking off the ear of a servant, of a someone who was there to, maybe you say, well, it's self-defense. It was also his pride. Be that as it may, we can do things and say things without thinking. I want you to stop for a moment. Remember we talked about those who are intentionally causing trouble as one group. But most of us cause trouble unintentionally by not thinking. And that's the foolishness that's being talked about. It is that stumbling into strife, two STs, stumbling into strife, that is probably the most common foolish causes of fights, that is the most common among us all. So, I'm in the middle of a fight. I don't know how I got here. Or, yeah, I do know how I got here, but, you know, I've broken my eggs and it's hard to unscramble the eggs. I mean, we really find ourselves in stupid situations. Why not just stop and say, I'm talking like an idiot. please forgive me. I am so sorry. I understand now why you're exercised. Anybody that said what I just said a moment ago, you know, they have the right to feel as you do. Please forgive me for talking so stupidly. And it does. It takes a little bit of humility, and once you're in it, you have your ego to protect. It is, in terms of peace. Tom. Yes. Right. Yes. That's just right. There's a difference between protection on the one hand and vengeance, which is based on ego, on the other. And if there is a matter of justice, the authority that we read in Romans 13 does not bear the sword in vain. There is a purpose for the authority. There is a purpose for the powers that be when it comes to issues of justice. That's absolutely the case. It has to do with, that's a different matter entirely from the kind of personal vendettas that we get into that cause trouble. And that's really what this is addressing. But I want to look at solutions. We looked at causes. Let's look at solutions for a moment. There are two or three very telling things that are said here in the book of Proverbs with regard to solutions. Look at chapter 17 of Proverbs. I mean, it's too easy to get into it. The question is, how do you get out of it? Chapter 17 of Proverbs. Well, this is one of those, sort of like that one about, you know, wringing the nose produces blood, therefore, you know. That was vivid. Here's another vivid one.